This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
When you aren't listening, find us on social media at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
No, Sherby!
Hello, everybody. It is Rob here with a bonus episode of the Eurotrip Podcast. Is it a bonus episode of the Eurotrip Podcast? Or is it a bonus episode of Malfest Monday? I will let you decide over the next half an hour or so. I hope you're well. We promise you three episodes this week. And here I am with episode number three. And it is a really, really exciting one. I'm not going to hang around for too long because I think this interview talks for itself. I have literally, at the point at which I'm talking to you, just got off a brilliant call with the show producer of Melody Festival in 2024, and she has been the show producer for Mello for the last few years. It is the brilliant Karin Gunnarsson. Now, Karin is busy preparing for that first heat in Malmö on Saturday, but she gave me half an hour to chat to her and ask her everything about this year's Mello, the Mello process in general, how she picks the songs. But we also had a brilliant chat all about Loreen, Eurovision 2023, how Loreen in Melody Festival and happened in the first place last year, and also, as you will hear, a tattoo. There is so much fun stuff in this. If you are a Mello fan, this is for you. If you are a Eurovision fan, this is for you. Let us know what you think of it. Please do get in touch at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. We're there as well, of course. You can send us an email, hello@eurotrippodcast.com. And if you love this interview, feel free to send us a couple of quid. You can do that at buymeacoffee.com/Eurotrip Podcast. But in the meantime, I hope you enjoy this. This is my chat with the show producer of Melody Festival in 2024, the brilliant Karin Gunnarsson. Karin Gunnarsson, welcome back to the Eurotrip.
Well, thank you, Rob. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me back.
Karin, we were just chatting, weren't we? I think the last time we had you on the podcast was around Christmas in 2021. So before you'd started your role as show producer at Melody Festival. And, but of course, you've been working on Mello for a long time before that. But it's safe to say that since that conversation, things have gone very, very well in Melody Festival and for Sweden, of course, at Eurovision too. So you must reflect on your time so far very fondly.
Yeah, it's been interesting and exciting and very, very successful, yes. And also a bit dramatic with the pandemic and everything. So yeah, I'm very blessed and pleased and happy.
There's obviously so much to talk to you about, which we will try and squeeze into quite a short amount of time. But obviously, we are talking on the eve of Mello 2024. So how excited are you to finally see the acts, of course, that you have been working with since probably early 2023, really, to see them start taking to the stage and start in Malmö this weekend.
I'm so excited. We have such a great team and we have such great songs and artists this year. I sometimes compare Melodifestivalen with like a pregnancy, different phases, and they all have a function. But now we're in the last trimester here. Let's just get this show on the road. It has to come out, and we'll see, and let the audience and the listeners and viewers take part in everything that we have been working on and creating. At the office and rehearsing it. You know, you just want to make, I just want to see it come alive.
To use your words then, is this your favourite trimester in the life cycle of a Melodifestivalen? Because you finally get to see, as you said, the acts on stage, you finally get to see everything coming to fruition. Or is this the most nerve-wracking trimester?
This is the most nerve-wracking, I think. Because every phase has its like, it's so exciting to start off like in April. You know, you have, then you have a result, which artists and songs did very well, what new songs and artists are like interested in being in the following year. I mean, it's, you have all these conversations, meetings. I mean, it's the build up. And then, you know, you just have to excite people to start creating songs. And then all of a sudden you have a bunch of demos you can listen to and you can feedback. So, I mean, every phase has its function and excitement about it. But of course, and now we are, I mean, finally the artists will stand on stage. They get to perform. The audience gets to hear the songs. They can be played on radio, streamed. I mean, this is nerve-wracking. Somebody will win, and many will leave the competition. It doesn't mean that you have lost. I think being a part of Mello is you win something, even though you might not get to the final or win it. But of course this is nerve-wracking. I love all the songs. I love all the artists.
the thing that might surprise people the most is that you mentioned there you start working on the following year in April, you said. So that's even before that year's winner of Melodifestivalen has represented Sweden at Eurovision, you will already be looking ahead to the following year. So what are you doing in April? What are the jobs that are happening in April?
Well, actually, you know, I start working on the following year already in December, when I have when after the press conference, when everything is official. I mean, then I have a bunch of songs and artists that didn't make it that year that I keep up a conversation with, like, all right, you didn't get to be a part of Mello this year, but because of this and that, but the song is still interesting, you are still interesting, let's just keep the conversation going. So actually I work all year around, but in April, then I start to have meetings. Like you said, we don't have a result, but still, when Mello is over, we do have a momentum, because often Melodifestivalen songs and artists do really, really well here in Sweden. So that's like a momentum I want to embrace, to show people or artists that maybe they are reluctant about being a part of Mello. You can always like, look, this can be you next year. So I have to take that momentum and how do you say, embrace that and use that as a argument when in meetings. So, but still, I mean, it's early, but then time flies.
You must get so much satisfaction when you are listening to the radio. You know, you're sitting at home or in the car or wherever, and it's March, April, May time. Pretty much every song that comes on, you must go, yeah, I made this happen, but kind of I made this happen because you gave them and that song the showcase that has meant that it is as popular as it is.
Yeah, it is. It is. I find it so, I get so happy to just to hear them on the radio, to, attend different, it can be a sports event, and all of a sudden, you know, they play a song from Mello as this, you know, pep song in the beginning, or just to see the impact that it has on people's lives, that is a great feeling. And kids are so happy. I love to hear the Mello songs on the radio or see them do so well on Spotify or, yeah.
It's always funny where Mello songs crop up, where they appear, because I was looking at social media this week and there was an episode of Love Island All Stars here in the UK. And one of the songs they used was Cassiopeia's song from 2022. I can't get enough.
Oh,
so
cool.
Even 2 years on, in a completely different country, those songs still have another life.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. Ah, she's such a star, Cassiopeia. Really, really glad to have her back in the competition this year.
Yeah,
there's an artist.
indeed. And I'll ask you about both of those things in a moment. And obviously the class of 2024 as well. But Karin, when you are having the discussions and when you are talking to artists and record labels and all of those other discussions you're having, what are the criteria you are looking at for artists to take part in Melody Festival? And how much of it is about the song? How much of it is about them?
Everything starts with a song, but then you also need to have an artist who can manage to sing it and get through the screen, and also on that add and a performance that just enhances the song. That the word,
yeah, that makes sense.
because it's the song, it's the artist, and it's the performance that competes. But I am looking for strong hit songs that can be competitive with all the other songs that are hit music in Sweden, both local and the music coming from abroad. What are people interested in hearing? What's the mood? What's the mode? What's the genre that's popular right now? Because I want the music from Mello to be competitive and to live long after the show is over. So you need a direct impact, but also growers. And you need artists that are familiar faces to the audience, but also new faces that people can discover. And so it's a process, because and as this process proceeds, like in May, June, July, when I get more songs sent to me, when I have more meetings, I mean, some artists might be kind of reluctant, but then they think about it and then they get back to me. Yeah, I'm really, really interested. Okay. But I have to take all that, in and be positive, and I mean, not jump to decisions or conclusions too fast, but strong songs and an output interest. I mean, sometimes an artist is really, really famous and familiar, but maybe they have competed in Mello before. Then the not the difficulty, but the challenge is to find a song that is strong enough to live up to all those expectations. So it's different conversations with different artists and people all the time.
And I suppose just to lift the curtain in the whole selection process, what proportion of songs do you get submitted without an artist? What proportion of songs do you get that are song and artist, here's the package, this is what we'd want? And how often do you get an artist wanting to do it without a song? And you kind of have to play, you have to play matchmaker a little bit in the background.
Well, the amount of songs without a specific artist, I think that's like that's what I get the most. And then it's a package that it's done and dusted. And then it's the third category. Artist wants to be in Mello really, really badly, but hasn't really found the song yet. No, but when we close the page where you submit the songs, my goal is to have as many packages done by then. That's why I put in so much effort in the spring and during the summer to just sort things out, because I know that when we close the submission and I have to listen through everything and go to the jury process, and after the jury process I have a whole there are so many people waiting for me to, I mean, who will be in the competition? What will we do? All the other people I'm working with around, they need something to work with. And if I'm not done, they can't start. So what I mean is, I have time in October and November, but to find a song and an artist to be like an A&R and put together, I don't have that much time to do that. But maybe three or four songs each year, maybe I can put together afterwards.
As I said, like a matchmaker.
Yeah, like a matchmaker. Exactly. And it's that's really, really something I enjoy very much. But I also don't have that much time, because even though something seems to be like, oh, this is this artist and this song, well, it's a match and you're welcome. There's still going to be, then they have to finish the songs, because all the songs I receive are demos. And maybe they want to twist a little bit with the lyrics or with something. So every song is a process. And sometimes that, even though it's on forehand, looks like it's not going to be a problem, there's always going to be a bumpy road.
If we cast our minds back just a little bit to Mello 2023, and I have to ask, given everything you've just said, and feel free to tell me or not to tell me, but in which category then did Loreen come to you in 2023? Because 11 years, obviously, since she'd won the contest previously, since she'd won Mello and then gone on to win Eurovision, she always said, when we were talking to her last year, it was about the song, and it was the song that had brought her back. Did you have the song and no Loreen, or did you have Loreen and no song, and did you have to put them together? How did that work?
I heard the song, and all I could think about was, this is such a Loreen song. So when she heard it, she just felt that that was her song.
And did she hear it because of you?
Well, yes. I had, because the songwriters and I had a conversation going, and I know Loreen, but not that well. I worked with her a little bit in 18, but I do know her, but it was someone else who played it to her.
And you know, you mentioned that you know her not well, but you must have had an inkling that she was at least interested in returning to Mello and potentially to Eurovision, because for so long that would have seemed like something that just wouldn't have happened, especially obviously since her return to Mello in 2017. I think everybody thought she'd closed the book on that. Mm-hmm. So when did you first get inklings that actually that might not be the case?
No, but like you said, if the song existed, then I had a feeling that she would not be able to say no. But she is such a creator. She's such an artist. She's such an incredible person. I mean, I just saw and heard everything. For me, it was like a hand in glove. But I mean, I hope that she would feel the same.
Were you nervous that she might say no, given how much you thought it could go well, and how, you know, how beautifully the song and Loreen could go together? Were you nervous that she might listen and go, actually, it's a great song, but it's not for me?
Yeah, absolutely.
The idea now that we could have had Tattoo in Mello 2023 without Loreen, I mean, that could have happened, right?
Yeah, or maybe it would just be a song that had been saved for another year, and it would have gone for one more try. But like with all artists and songwriters and this putting everything together, you need to speak to different artists in different ways and know who to talk to. Maybe if I'm asking, it's not the right way. Maybe it's better if this person asks, or if I talk to this person. And do, so it's also, it's like a it's strategy.
it's so complicated, and I think a lot of people who obviously watch Mello tune in on a Saturday, they just don't realize the level of complexity and everything that goes on. Last two very quick questions on Loreen, because obviously we have to talk about 2024. The first of which being, what was it like when you knew that Loreen was coming back, but nobody else knew? What was that like to keep a secret? And when did you know?
When did I know? In October, I think, some late October. I think everything was like a, yeah, everyone was happy, and because she also had, she wanted to work with the song and do it. She wanted to live with it and, you know, to go in and work on the song. And in October, I think, late October. No, it was, a great feeling. But still, this is Mello, and 2023 was, it was a good year. And you never know until you know what's it going to be like. Returning to Mello, and you have won Eurovision, of course, that also comes with a lot of pressure. And will the how will the audience react? And I mean, I know what she has done for Eurovision. I know what an impact she has on the Eurovision, not just only the Eurovision community. She has branched well beyond that with Euphoria. But is it gonna work all the way? How will people react? Like, you don't know until you know.
I promise the last question on 2023 and Loreen, and we can talk about 2024 after that. But what was that night like in Liverpool?
Oh, it was. God, I my heart is racing now. This. I wasn't that nervous really on the grand finale that evening. I was quite confident. So actually, I was the most nervous when I got home, and I watched the show. The when all the votes was delivered, and then when I saw it from that perspective, I was like, oh my God, it was so exciting. But on that evening, when it finally was we won it, it was such a joy, I was so happy. I was and so proud of her and of the team working so hard with the production and everything. It was a wonderful. I will never ever forget that. And I have a tattoo here.
a tattoo of tattoo.
I did this 2 weeks before Liverpool.
That's very presumptive.
I don't know if you can see it.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. We've got it. A crystal ball.
Yeah.
So you predicted it. You predicted it would happen, and it did.
And I thought to myself, "This is gonna happen. It's gonna happen." But still, I can't jinx it. So I did it. I didn't tell anyone. And all the time in Liverpool, I always wore a long sleeve. So at the breakfast on Sunday, the day after, then I had a short sleeve on, and I came over to Thomas Gesson, and I showed him, because I had told him, if we win, I'm gonna do this crystal ball tattoo, and I showed it to him, and I was like, whoa, look, and he was like, oh my God, because we hung out like all night and morning, and he was just like, when did you have time to do that? And I was like, no, I did that 2 weeks ago. And he just, now you're so cold. How could you do that? And he was also so happy I hadn't told anyone. I was like, no. If we hadn't won, it would still be a great story. The whole journey with, I would not regret it. But I mean, now when everything went the way it did, so it was wonderful, wonderful evening. Memory I will never forget.
And now the search starts for the eighth win. How does that change things, actually? Does it change your job that you are hosting, obviously, Sweden as a nation? You are picking the host representative. Does that change what you have been looking for in the songs for Mello this year? Or is your job the same? You are still just looking for the most competitive song possible?
I'm still looking for our next winner. The ambition is to do it again. Nothing less. And to find our next winner, but it has meant so much for the Swedish industry and for songwriters and for the people of Sweden that we did win. So the vibe has been very positive. I thought maybe it would be like a hungover and artists would not want to compete. Songwriters would think, oh, we're not going to win again, blah, blah, blah. And it would be a tougher season for me. But not at all, not at all. The vibe is so, so positive. There's so many people working creatively, writing music, artists that has, I mean, it has more been like ignition. No, it's like something moving forward. Also the power of Eurovision, that of course winning is fantastic, and but still, if you're in the top 10 in Eurovision, you can still have a hit song around the world, and it's such a great platform. And with Måneskin and Sam Ryder and everything has happened, also with the Snap, the I mean, what did it? It ended like in 6, 7, 8. I don't know.
Unbelievable numbers. Yeah.
Yeah. It can be a hit song. So I think that has been something that has been very positive for me in my position. Because it's like, I mean, you're kind of selling something, convincing people that this is a good thing. This is a great thing to be a part of. The impact you make on people's lives and the things it can do for your career. It's been a very positive year. It was hard finding the 30 songs, two more songs this year. It wasn't hard. It was rather hard to make decisions along the way. Because there were so many great things to choose from.
an important question that my co-host James, who spoke to you last time a few years ago, wanted me to ask, and I think this is something that you spoke about with him at the time. Are we calling them semi-finals or are we calling them heats? It's up to you. Let's make a decision.
I want to call them hits.
Yeah, we'll call them heats.
Yeah.
Okay.
Heats.
It's right. We've decided it's heats.
Because it's heats, and it's then it was the semi-final heat, and then it was the final. Now it's only heats.
So we've just got heats and we've got a final.
Yeah. I think that's the most logical thing. Yes.
We don't have much time left. So in as little time as possible, can you please explain to us what will happen in that fifth heat? So obviously we have our first and second places that have gone direct to the final, as always.
Yes.
What is different this year? Remind everyone.
The new thing this year is that the songs and artists who has placed themselves in third or fourth place in the previous heats, they will all come to Karlstad, and we will have a 30-minute show with everyone attending, and then you have a new voting procedure, because 10 finalists are decided, but we still need two more songs to go to the final. So you have 10 songs in this little, it's not little, half hour show, where you get to vote again, and you get to see and hear the songs again. They will not perform them live. It will be a recap that's, not a short recap. It's a longer recap, and you get to meet them, talk to them, and then the voting is on again.
And are the votes that they've already received carried over?
Yes, but they are transformed into points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. That was very well explained. And Karin, I know you are so busy. Of course, you are, at the time that we're talking, preparing for that first heat, as we now know that we're calling it, in Malmö. Obviously the perfect place for the first heat this year. How excited are you for the next 6 weeks, and how much are you looking forward to crowning that debut Mello winner? You know, not necessarily a debutant to the contest, maybe, but they'll be winning for the first time.
I'm super excited. Every year is a new year with new songs and artists, and this year is a year filled with contenders that are in it to win it. So you will get to see and hear so many strong songs and performances. So I'm just super excited to see, is it going to be someone who has been close to winning earlier, or is it going to be like one of these up and coming like Cornelia kind of artists? Cornelia wasn't that really that well known to the Swedish people before. What will happen there and then in that live moment? So I'm super excited. This is such an amazing season.
Karin, that is the perfect place to finish. Hopefully you'll have another tattoo maybe on your other arm by the time that we chat by the time that we chat next.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so.
Karin, it has been brilliant. Thank you so much for chatting to us. You are so busy, and you are prepping for a very busy, I was going to say prepping for a very busy Melfest season. You've been prepping for a very busy Melfest season since, well, last
I'm
December.
Done. I'm done prepping. Just let's get this show on the road.
Karin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Rob. Such a pleasure.
When you aren't listening, find us on social media at Eurotour Podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
So there she was, Karin Gunnarsson, the show producer for Melody Festival in 2024. So nice to catch up with her. We had quite a long conversation after I pressed stop on that recording as well, actually. She was asking me who my favourites are in Mello this year. She was asking if I'm going along to watch the show. And we also agreed to meet up in Malmö for Eurovision 2024. She said, I'll see you there. So apparently we're going to have a catch up there. We also had a bit of a chat about my wedding. She was asking all about that. So yeah, a lovely, lovely person. And I wish Karin and the rest of the SVT team all of the best of luck for everything that is going to happen in Mello over the next few weeks. And who knows, maybe, as I said there, Karin can get another tattoo after Sweden secure their 8th Eurovision victory. What a brilliant story that was, all about the tattoo that Karin got a couple of weeks before Eurovision. Thankfully, it worked out for Karin, didn't it? Might have been a bit embarrassing if Carrier and Finland had emerged victorious in the end. But that is not what happened. And of course, we now know it is all roads to Malmö. It's all roads to Malmö for Eurovision, but it is all roads to Malmö for this weekend, of course. The first heat of Melodifestivalen taking place this weekend. And we now know, of course, that we are calling them heats as well. And don't forget, James will be back with you with some more brilliant guests to recap all of the action and to preview heat number two when he returns for the next episode of Melfest Monday in this podcast feed on Monday. So don't go anywhere. Don't miss it. Make sure that you tune into that once that episode drops first thing on Monday morning. But for now, though, it is time for me to say goodbye. Thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you to Karin Gunnarsson again for her time. And if you loved what you heard, do get in touch with us. I'd love to know your thoughts on some of the stuff she said there, because there was some great stuff. You can do that over on socials. So Instagram and Twitter, we are at Eurotrip Podcast. We're on TikTok as well. If you head over to our TikTok and our Instagram, you might see Karin showing me her tattoo, because that was a fab moment from the interview. And also, if you want to send us an email, hello@eurotrippodcast.com. You can rate and review us wherever you're listening. And don't forget, for our exclusive stories, head over to eurotrippodcast.com. But in the meantime, enjoy Melody Festivalen, and I will see you soon. Bye-bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Tsinis.
Kayla Tsinis. I'm Kayla Tsinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.